Hello, everyone, and welcome back. It's Richard Lannan for Set for Success, where we talk about, discuss what it takes for you to create a roadmap to transform your business, career, or life. I guess you can say I am fascinated by business, and I always have been, ever since I was a little boy. And, you know, and I love to hear and talk to people about their business overall. Now, if you've been hanging out with me and joining into the show, guess what? I know you know this already. Lately, I've been getting to meet a lot of really great business leaders who love Manitoba, and they often talk about how networked Manitoba is, and or I hear stories about how organizations come together where, you know, they pitched in to for a cause or just by making a phone call and saying, you know, I need your help. You know, what can you do? I also think Manitoba has a thriving economy, active economy overall. It's beyond the 10 key diversified industries that we often talk about in our gross domestic product. And maybe some of them are more key than others. I don't know. I'm not even going to go there for that one. There are things happening in our economy, in advanced technology, in manufacturing, agriculture, information technology, digital media, transportation, aerospace, and other sectors too. Heck, even Manitoba Hydro has some really cool things going on in the wind hydro sector, which I have to admit, I hope to chat someday about that, learn a little bit more about it. This is setting the stage for what I believe to be Manitoba becoming an it province in Canada, a real global player. There's just so much going on, but I think at times this might mean that we have to have advanced jobs into the future. And I think this is what the rumbling of the street is in the entrepreneurial and business community. And this is the kind of stuff I hear when I get out and talk to business leaders. So here's what I want to do. Over the course of my next few shows, I want to start the process of dispelling the myth of Manitoba business, right? And we're going to start talking to business leaders about that and what's going on around the world, what's happening in Canada, what's happening in Manitoba, all the different things. There's many head offices here, and there's things that are going on that I don't think we really have a voice for that all the time. And if I can help be that voice, heck, I will do so. So that's what we're going to do. So I'm going to be doing a bunch of shows on dispelling business myths in Manitoba and showcase some of the series business leaders and talents and the successes and where the future is going to go on Set for Success. But now today I'm hanging out with Wadu. And Wadu, I know you're part of a company called Protegra. And I really want to sort of get our listeners to, for you to sort of tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Hi, Richard. Thank you very much for having me here.
Yeah, it's always fun.
I can maybe tell you a little bit about how I got into this industry in the first place. I went to the University of Manitoba, and I studied computer science. And in my third year, I almost got bored of computer science. And then in my fourth year, I took a course on artificial intelligence. This is a long time ago. But then I was fascinated by that. Now it's all the rage.
Yeah, it is huge.
Artificial intelligence, yeah. And so I kind of saw the potential of that. And so I continued on. I did a master's in industrial engineering at the U of M as well. And then I went into the workforce. And I worked in different companies, lots of interesting career opportunities I had. And a couple of times, actually, I almost went away from Winnipeg. I had an opportunity in Toronto to go with IBM, and another opportunity later on with Microsoft in Seattle. But you know what? In both those times, I looked and said, "Okay, should I be moving away from Winnipeg?" And you actually sit down and look at the whole, what I would call the whole holistic view of your life.
Yeah.
In the place, in terms of family that you have, in terms of the kind of homes you have, the quality of life in general. And you know what? Actually, when you sit down and calculate all those variables, for me, Manitoba and Winnipeg came on top. Yeah, so I stayed here. So
now that's interesting, because you would have did that as a young man. Like roughly how old would you have been at that time?
Oh, I was, I don't know, I was 28.
A lot of people don't do that, right, at that point in their lives.
And then later on, I was in my early 30s.
Yeah.
I almost was thinking to do something else. And no, I stayed in Winnipeg. And so it worked for different organizations, and then I thought, you know, everywhere I worked, I thought I could do things better, or things should be better. And you know, I don't like to say should I, could I. You know, it's either you do it, or you do something else. So myself and two other of my colleagues, good friends of mine, we decided to create our own place. And so we said, well, why don't we create the company we think it should be? And that's how we created Protegra.
Yeah, Protegra is, that was the show, the name of the company and everything. And it's a very interesting company. I've had the opportunity to read up on a little bit in the information technology field. What is it exactly does Protegra do?
Particularly, really, it's about creating software-enabled solution. What does that really mean?
Yeah.
We're about really helping organizations in two ways. One, can we help an organization be more productive? So about organizational productivity, be able to do things faster, quicker, cheaper. That's one aspect. And since the internet showed up in a big way in 1995, and then the mobile mobile technology, customer engagement, how do businesses actually engage with their customers became even a bigger thing. And so that's really what we help organizations with, is either help them create products and services for their customers or improve their productivity. So that's one aspect of our business. The other aspect is we have our own innovations. So our own people be interested in solving problems in the world, and whatever they choose to solve, we create a business around that. So we call them a software. So Protegra really is what I would call a community of software-driven businesses or business lines, if you wish.
Yeah, and I actually saw that. I was reading that on your website, and then I Googled some other information. Those words came up. I've always liked the lines of service or lines of business and that. But the idea that you're like a community of software businesses, I thought that was quite fascinating, actually. How do you actually manage something like that? Because that's, in itself is quite fascinating. But your head office, let's step back a bit. Your head office out of Manitoba, Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Correct, this is Winnipeg,
yes. And you're doing global work, mm-hmm. from what I can gather. Mm-hmm. How large is your organization?
We're about 45 employees.
45?
Yeah, 45 people. We don't use the word employee, but it's 45 people.
45 people. Okay. Yeah. I think that actually provides a little bit of understanding in terms of just the structure size overall. I often refer to you as the unlikely entrepreneur, and we're going to just take a short break. When we come back, I want to sort of just chat about that a little bit with you. This is Richard Lannan for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hello and welcome back. And today I'm hanging out. It's Richard Lannan, and I'm hanging out with Wadud. And he is part of the Protegra team. And when I started off chatting with you I at the end of the last segment, I sort of mentioned that I always thought you were sort of the unlikely entrepreneur. And I mean that as a compliment, right? I sort of feel that you got into being an entrepreneur just by choice, but almost so by happen chance too, in terms of your thinking. What are your thoughts on that? And what are you being an unlikely entrepreneur?
Sure. When we started the company initially, the focus, early in my career was really focused on interested in building good, interesting products.
Yeah.
In the software world. And so worked for startups, worked for a multinational technology company, worked for different organizations, and found different issues. One of them was actually being able to innovate in an environment that's already set up in a certain way, how organizations are organized, how people are treated. There's a whole bunch of aspects to the workplace, if you wish. And so basically came to the conclusion that had a certain ideas of how work should be done, how should be organized. And then that's really was, not just me and two other people that I work with. And we decided to start the company to have a different kind of business, basically.
And maybe that ties in quite nicely with what you said about a community of software people. Hopefully I got that right.
Yeah, community of software-driven businesses. Yeah.
Community of software-driven businesses. Well, you mentioned, as opposed to the employees, you mentioned people before. So now when I'm thinking like, wow, you got all these people there. How does that work in terms of your thinking from an entrepreneurial perspective, having a community of software businesses?
Yeah, I mean, we start the company, the foundation of any organization really is its people. You hear that a lot,
yeah.
But it's easy to say as opposed to implement, and so we really trying to create an environment. We call it community in the sense that it's not really a company. It's not just because it's a group of people who work together to help each other achieve their own individual goals, but also there's a collective goal, the company goal, the community goal. So that's the idea, is to work together. Community usually supports different people and to help them achieve their objectives. So that's really how how we're organized that
way. You're organized. But, okay, so maybe you can give me an example of how you actually go about doing that, because that sounds like a challenge in itself, you know?
Sure. So we're very big believers in systems and processes.
Okay.
That way. I don't mean to be handcuffed by process, but be more systematic in terms of how things are done. So, for example, we have a way of how we develop strategies, for example, how is operational done, how projects should be done. How we deliver to clients. So everything is really there's some kind of an approach to it, but the people are at the center of everything, right? So we try and say, well, how can we get everybody to be the center of everything, if you wish? So we want to make sure we have no titles in the company, right? So because we believe titles creates rank in a company and creates barriers. So we want to make sure everybody comes to work as an individual, and we want to celebrate their differences. We want to celebrate what they bring to the table. Now, of course, people have different levels of competencies and what have you, but that's obvious. That goes without saying.
Normal part of life.
But we organize. We're trying to make more of a self-organizing team, self-managed teams, and we work in a way that's more of a pull system as opposed to a push system. What that really means is people pull the work as opposed to work is pushed onto them.
Okay.
So the idea is, you know, when you have, you know, hierarchy, the higher up people kind of direct the people and, you know, lower in the hierarchy. We don't believe in that kind of structure. We believe in a structure where a team gets together in a circle, if you wish, and they can collaborate and work together to get the job done. So that's part of fundamental structure that we have. Really, it's about self-managed teams, but that's grounded by values, purpose, and such kind of behaviors that we believe that needs to be done, and ways of doing things. And so we move things away from what a person, you know, thinks things should be done or what they believe in, to more being data-driven, being more evidence-based, based on experimentation, based on learning, based on collaboration. So that's really how we organize.
That makes you a very unique business environment, because I suspect there's not too many like that. I recall watching a documentary some years ago called A Deep Dive, and I might have even shared it with you at one point in time. It was a design company called IDEO, and I think the owner had very much a similar philosophy. Are you're nodding? Yes. Are you familiar with that one?
Yes, IDEO is a great great organization in California, and so. You know, certain aspects of what we do, other people do. So actually, yeah. we do research, and also is there models out there we can just use? And we haven't really found a model that we can use. But however, there are some interesting things other people do, and so we basically, you know, take bits and pieces from here and there, and also we develop our own ways of doing things. And so it is unique that way.
It is, yeah, no, it is. In my introduction to you, I really left it wide open. I just sort of dropped it on you because I read somewhere where I know that you now said you don't like titles. And I was going to say, well, you know, I'm sitting here with the CEO of Protegra. But then I sort of went, no, I don't think I can say that. If you are asked for a title, like, how do you usually introduce yourself?
Well, it's kind of interesting. Sometimes I'm at events, you sit at the head table. And they introduce people at the head table. So when you introduce people, they'll say, so-and-so, CEO of this or executive, whatever. And I would tell the people who are organizing the event, I say, when you come to my name, just say, Wadud Ibrahim, representing Protegra.
Okay.
That's pretty simple. So that's it goes pretty quick. So somebody have to say, like, what do you do? Whatever. Sometimes they use co-founder, but that's not a title, really. That's just more of an...
As a co-founder, what does that mean?
What does that mean?
I've been in the consulting field myself for 27, 28 years or more, and I've worn many hats. And I get people ask me all the time what my title is. And I sometimes, what do I say? You know, they don't think that, you know, you do all these different things and a title might fit based on what you're doing at some point in time.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. But overall, it's not really that relevant.
Correct.
Not in my field.
It's actually, once you remove it, it's amazing actually how we don't really need it. And for example, even at work, when it's kind of funny, I particularly say, if you go to somebody and say, well, who's your manager? Who do you report to? People look at you funny. It's like, what do you mean? What do I report to? So that's the kind of. However, I don't mean it's chaotic. Actually, it's very organized and very rigorous in terms of the execution of projects, in terms of how we develop products. It's actually there's a lot of rigor to the process.
Yeah.
But actually, it's a lot more flexible and a lot more agile, and a lot more. It moves quickly, and we're very responsive that way.
Very adaptive
and innovative. I think that's the key, because the key to innovation is to unleash people's power.
So. Power. You know what we'll do? We'll take a short break and maybe we'll come back with some of those ideas and thinking. This is Richard Lannan. We'll be right back. Hello, it's Richard Lannan, and we're here to help you become set for success in your business, career, and life. You know, I think part of being successful is trying to find some kind of winning approach to your organization that helps you set and achieve your business goals, your vision, your mission, maybe even just structuring the organization. Or how about this, having a systematic approach, a discipline that you put in place that's good for people to work with, but yet allows them to be very innovative. I think that's maybe what we're talking about today with my guest from Protegra, Wadud Abraham, and he's basically been chatting with me today regarding some of the things you actually can do in your organization. Now, Protegra has a very, very unique culture, structure involved, and something quite unique in itself. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to explore that a little bit more and find out how they're being innovative in the future and some of the key challenges that they have and how they see the business and community evolving overall. This is Richard Lannan. We're going to be just back in a little bit for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. It's Richard Land for Set for Success, and I am hanging out with a co-founder of Protegra, Wadud. And basically, just before the break, we were talking a little bit about the unique structure of the organization, and you had mentioned actually about innovation, about how innovative you are, and then also you talked a little bit about the lines of business or lines of service. You tell me which word you like to use. Can you maybe expand upon that a little bit for us?
Sure. I mean, there's lots of talk about innovation, and innovation is lots of people think of, oh, I have an idea. And that's what people start with. So they take the idea and either pitch it to a group of investors or pitch it to management within an organization. And we believe to start with the problem, not to start with the solution. So that's have a bit of a different approach to innovation. So anybody at Protegra, a Protegran, because we don't call ourselves employees. So a Protegran would be say, okay, I have an idea. We say, okay, before you come up with the idea, who's going to serve? Let's get out of the building and go talk to people. Talk to people who are actually going to use it. And let's develop insight into the problem we're trying to solve. So innovation comes from insight, right? And once we develop that insight, then we can innovate. And so when we start a line of business, we say I'm not going to give you all the lines of business, but I can tell you about a couple of them. Blue Canvas, which is really a work management and payroll service, is the most advanced platform in the country that we launched. The people who work there, they love the problem of helping businesses in terms of their operations, how they can be more efficient, how can they help employees work together well, how work should be organized, things like that. So that's the problem that they're trying to solve, and the technology comes in to actually solve it at scale. The other line of business is called the local frequency, which Richard, you should download the app, and it's about local business, Winnipeg businesses.
Okay.
And so the idea, the people who work there, they love the local economy, they love local businesses, and so we basically launched called the local frequency. It's a rewards app that you download, and if you shop at the local businesses, you can collect rewards and you can redeem them at any participating business. So we're trying to create a collective of businesses. So, but the idea is not so much what we do, is really about how do we start a line of business. It has to start with our own people. They have to care about the problem they're trying to solve, and the approach that they can leverage, the Protegra approach in terms of how you create innovation. And that's actually creates an exciting environment, because people actually come in the morning. Actually, they're thinking about it when they go home and on the weekends, because they're trying to solve that problem. And then both from a technology perspective, but also from a business perspective, and you got the team working together. But most importantly, they're out there talking to the actual people who are going to use the product or service. And that's really what creates a very dynamic environment, very innovative environment, and most importantly, engaged people?
Out of curiosity, because I'm a big believer in the whole stakeholder analysis side and the stakeholder interview and stakeholder discussions. I mean, that's really what you're talking about, is speaking to your stakeholders. At any point in time, I'm just curious, would like a group of your people be like out in the world talking to people? Like, would they just sort of go forth? I mean, yeah, probably planned, right? But would that be something that would be happening in your organization?
That's exactly. And what we do is there's two ways of doing things. And we don't believe in going. And if you ask people the question, you know, what your needs are, they'll tell you what the solution is. And so we try, and we have some innovative techniques in terms of how we get people to be in a situation where we're observing them. So almost like it's an anthropological study almost. You want to get out there, as you said, get out there and watch people in their work environment without them knowing. If they know you're watching them, people actually change behavior. So we want to make sure we observe people. And if we can observe them, then we can create a workshop, a work environment where we're creating a simulation where we can observe how people behave and what the kind of words they say. And that's really, it's all about developing insight into the problem that we're trying to solve. Because in innovation, actually, if it's about connecting dots that are not obvious. Because if those dots, the connection between these dots is simple, would have been the solution would have been created already. It's really is when you actually connect dots that are not obvious is when innovation occurs. And I think that's what we're trying to create, an environment to be able to connect these dots.
Oh, right on. I think that, when I hear you speak about this and everything, I'm thinking a lot about in terms of adaptive planning, predictive planning, agile. I mean, I'm familiar with all of this stuff too. And it's at the root of, I mean, what's now called business analysis, right? And some of the changes, I'm assuming, hopefully you agree, but just some of that thinking too. What are some of the challenges that you have in your unique community as a business overall?
I think the biggest challenge is most people we've grown up in a certain kind of environment. There's a certain kind of expectation,
sure,
of how work should be done.
Sure, or even our school structure is
exactly, very structured, very hierarchical, actually.
Yes, yeah.
So that's the interesting part. And so how can you unlearn all those things? Sometimes you be in a meeting and you say, well, who's the owner of this? I'll say, what do you mean, like, who's the owner of this? You're a team working together. Why do we have to designate an owner of certain things? Some things, of course, people would own. So you'll say, I'm going to do this. Then they own that. But you don't need somebody that owns the whole thing in okay. some way sometimes. And so it's lots of providing feedback, as an example. We're very, as people don't like to give feedback. So most organizations, that's kind of reserved for the management to provide feedback and supervisors.
And once a year sometimes.
Exactly. And so we believe in constant feedback. So anybody should give anybody feedback. And so conflict, people worry about conflict. And so the word conflict sometimes, brings to mind problems, but just differences of opinion. It's healthy, actually, to have differences of opinion. Being able to have a conversation around conflict is important. So these are the kind of challenges. Really what it boils down to, it's the challenge of people working together in an environment that is more collaborative and innovative. That's usually the toughest part.
That's the toughest part. I mean, even when you're speaking about conflict and everything, and I've been very fortunate in my life to have some great relationships, and I often think in terms of it's okay to agree to disagree. And I think sometimes people have a trouble getting over that. You know, it's about respect, it's about trust, and it's okay to have a different opinion, but in the end, how do we solve the problem that we're working on?
Exactly.
Is that a good summary?
That's exactly.
I know that you're involved in the Chamber of Commerce chair, and also definitely some thoughts in terms of business and the challenges they have here in our province. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, maybe we can talk a little bit about those things. This is Richard Lannan for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hello and welcome back. And this is Richard Lannan, and I've been hanging out with the co-founder of Protegra, Wadud, and he's basically been talking to me a bit about the very unique environment that the company has, one that's innovative, problem-solving, people-focused, community-focused. But just before the break, I mentioned, Wadud, that you were the chair of the Chamber of Commerce now. So congratulations on that. I think it's a recent thing, isn't it?
Thank you. Yeah, just last week.
So it's very, very recent. What got you involved in the Chamber of Commerce, I guess, and in terms of becoming the chair of the Chamber of Commerce?
Yeah, you know, it's all of us, I think most people like to volunteer, to help out in here and there. And so when my children were young, I used to be in the community club environment, coaching and helping around the community that way. And my kids got older, I had an opportunity to serve on the Manitoba Chambers of Commerce. And so in the beginning, I thought it's an organization that's advocating for business and offers some services. To my surprise and delight, I found out that the chamber is a lot more than just an advocacy group for business. The chamber actually focus on not just helping businesses, but also creating a healthier community, healthier economy. And so I was really hooked on the chamber. And so when I was asked to join the Winnipeg Chamber of Commerce, I jumped on that opportunity. And this year, I became the chair of the board starting last week. And it's a one-year term, and I'm really looking forward to working on that. The chamber is working on many, many aspects and many many ways to try to help our community in different ways, and especially specific businesses, but also nonprofit sector, educational institutions. Everybody really belongs to the chamber because it's about commerce, right? So everybody's involved in commerce.
Yeah, and it is about commerce. And I think the other piece that works quite well for you, even based on just discussing your own companies, is community. It's about community. It sounds to me like you found a community with the Chamber of Commerce.
Yes, absolutely it is, yeah.
Now, out of curiosity, what does the chair of the board do?
Well, the Chamber of Commerce obviously has staff, CEO and executive and people who run the chamber. But because it's membership based, it has a board of directors. So the board really is a governance board. And so basically provides a sounding board for the CEO and the management team for the chamber. Also guides the chamber in terms of policies and what have you. So it's really a governance board. And the chair has a little bit more roles in terms of outreach into the community and participating in the different events and what have you. But that's really what. And the board has a number of committees that really basically special areas of concern. So it could be transportation, could be food, could be whatever the case may be. And so that's what the board usually helps with. It really helps the staff, both from a governance perspective, but also to provide some insight into what. What are the issues in our community that are important as a collective?
And to bring light to that.
Exactly.
That's actually a nice segue into my next question, because I'm always interested in what are the common challenges that are happening in our business community. What would you say is maybe one or two of the challenges that we have right now from an economic business development economic perspective?
Sure. I mean, you hear a lot about lack of skilled workers. So that's one area that's big. A lot of sectors. I'm going to just speak for sectors that I know.
Sure, the ones that you're comfortable with. Yeah,
I'm with the information technology sector. Companies like ours, who are established and already have we have lines of business and revenue, try to innovate and trying to grow. Our biggest challenge is access to capital. So I'm going to call it meaningful capital.
Meaningful capital, okay.
And it's because we're trying to build a company for the long term, as opposed to having an idea and build it and sell it. There's nothing wrong with that one. There are companies who want to do that. But anybody who was trying to build something for the future, there's really no, I'm calling it meaningful access, because the lending part of the world, they need physical assets and the information technology, new media, all these.
Is not a physical asset
at all.
It's not a
physical asset. So there's no understanding of that. So there's no lending. On the equity side, venture capital is all about exit. So most organizations who go the venture capital route end up being sold or acquired by either going public or most of them actually get acquired by other companies. And in this world of knowledge business, if a company gets acquired, it usually is no longer in Winnipeg. And so we have no desire to leave Winnipeg. So we're trying to build for the long term. So it's very hard to actually access capital. That's what I call about meaningful is capital that help us grow the company without having to sell it.
Yeah, it's keeping your roots here and staying head office in Manitoba.
Exactly.
Why don't we say that
exactly.
And put it that way.
Yeah.
So what's the potential solution to that? Because I know you like a problem. So I think you might have thought out a solution.
I think the solution is not one. Sometimes people go to the government and say the government should solve it, or go to let's establish a venture capital, a local venture capital organization. I think the solution needs to be a collaboration between government, the entrepreneurship sector, the entrepreneurs themselves, the companies, and the financial institutions. I think if we can get together in one room and say, okay, let's come up with something where everybody puts something, you know, put something on the table and work together to create something that is that helps companies that are in this for the long term and help them grow and provide some patient capital to get them there. So that's what I think the solution is.
You use a very interesting word, patient capital. What's patient capital?
You know, I mean, I the information technology field, you can really, it's a year to 2 year window from the moment where you have an intellectual property developed to a moment where actually it starts to generate positive cash flow. And so it's really, you're talking about a 12 to 18 month window that the business would need to be financed to reach that. And the challenge in the market is there's no access to capital that has that kind of. And I'm not talking like long, like many years of patience, relatively short term. But even that is not available.
No, and you know, it's actually good that you bring that up, because I'm glad you sort of say the time frame, because often when we think in terms of long term, we might think in terms of traditional businesses where, you know, if you take a hydro, for example, there might be a 50-year turnaround on something. If you take a manufacturing, they might have a 15-year turnaround on something. So, but when you start to get into the information technology field, turnaround is a very, very different proposition.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know if you read in the paper the other day, Thomson Reuters are going to move all of their technology jobs from New York to Toronto. And so we have a challenge in Winnipeg to be able to compete with that and create the environment where we create and keep jobs here. And we need that one leg of the stool, if you wish. We have the talent. We have the companies,
yeah,
right? So what the other thing that is needed is I call it meaningful capital.
Meaningful capital, yeah, and keeping the people resources. You're listening to Richard Lannan for Set for Success. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. It's Richard Lannan for Set for Success, and I've been hanging out with Wadu Abraham today. He's been basically from Protegra. He's been talking to me a little bit about their business and some of the interesting things that are going on. Wadu, what would be sort of a final thought if you would have for our listeners?
Well, I mean, if you're either career or business, I think to start with, what's the purpose? I think living with purpose is probably the fundamental thing. So an interest and passion, if you can combine these two, if you don't have those at work, which we spend 8 hours a day minimum, if not more, it makes for a very boring 8 hours. And that's a big part of the day.
That's so a struggle.
I think it's always worth it to pursue that.
If somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing that?
There's a contact me on www.protegra.com, or you can reach the front line is 204-956-2727.
Or that's a great way to connect with you.
Somebody would probably be the fastest way this way.
Okay. I'd like to thank you for joining me today. And obviously, I'd like to thank my listeners for tuning in. If you have a thought or a question or an idea for a show, just send me an email at richard@setforsuccess.ca. And of course, I want you to remember to do these things. Do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.